broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for May 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2018. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great restorative solutions that we have at our fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get involved. We need to make America great again. But to do that, we need to make America moral again. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, available on demand at your fingertips free. But if you have the heart to help, donate at libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org, and we talked about the raw milk amendment put together by Thomas Massie. It was in the farm bill, and it was defeated 79 to 331. Now, the farm bill was not a good deal. It was packed with pork, but the raw milk amendment shouldn't be a federal government issue in the first place. Nevertheless, Thomas Massie really highlighted that issue, and the government literally denying the ability to drink raw milk. It's out of control. We need to nullify it now, to say the least. Looks like Utah's Mr. Bishop and Curtis voted with Massie. Stewart and Love voted against. We talked about the Senate confirming Gina Haspel as CIA director, despite her involvement in enhanced interrogation, abuse, torture, and more, and then the cover-up of that. Both Utah Senators Hatch and Lee voted to confirm her. Shame on those guys, by the way. The vote was 54 to 45 on that score. We also talked about Rand Paul's penny budget went down to defeat. The plan was defeated 21 to 76. Utah's Senator Mike Lee voted for it. Hatch, of course, voted against it. We talked about a bunch of senators who supported it. Mike Crapo of Idaho, for example. Ted Cruz of Texas. Steve Daines of Montana. Mike Enzi of Wyoming. And Marco Rubio, believe it or not, of Florida, jumped on board. Good for Marco for a change. I haven't seen that guy do anything right in a long time. Anyway, we need to stand for cutting the cost of government, folks. Balancing the budget, we need to get done, but we don't need an amendment. We need to cut taxes and cut spending at all levels of government. We had an update from Lowell Nelson about the GOP Central Committee meetings in Utah. That was hour one yesterday. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Scott Bradley, to Preserve the Nation, freedomsrisingsun.com. We talked about his incredible weekly lectures, their video lectures that are incredible. And we talked about his Sean Hannity leaving Fox News. Sinclair Media is after Sean, hopes to compete with Fox. In my opinion, you got two networks full of fake news. They claim we report, you decide kind of stuff. But they're manipulated as all get out. So to me, it doesn't matter where Sean goes. It's all big money, fiasco, fake news stuff. Turn to real news. We talked about the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had a meeting with the NAACP. Wow. And the leaders are calling for greater civility and racial harmony. And LDS President Russell M. Nelson and the NAACP President Derek Johnson both made comments on highlighting the historic nature of the two institutions working together. Listen. Creating an alliance that they hope can lead to working on education and humanitarian causes. Trump promised to eliminate gun-free zones on his first day in office. We played that clip. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast. We also talked about federal gun confiscation bills are starting to get green lights, even by Republicans. Look out, folks. We talked about Senator Rand Paul, quote, "We can't possibly ban every gun." Well, he's spot on that. We also talked about Rand Paul wisely pointed out shooters are not shooting up the sheriff's office. They go where there's no self-defense. We talked about CNN claims 22 government school shootings since the start of the year, or year to date, if you will, 2018. They lied, got caught. We brought that to the table. We talked about the NRA, President Oliver North. Second Amendment is not the disease. He's right. I rarely agree with Oliver North, but in this case, he's spot on. North suggested the root of the school violence problem is primarily males who are exposed to violence. They're on medications such as Ritalin and more, and they have a broken down family life. They're usually rejected by girls. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. You know what? That's not really the problem. I'll tell you the problem in just a second. But Arne Duncan, the former Secretary of Education under Barack Hussein, said students should stay out of schools until gun legislation is passed. Well, I, believe it or not, agree. We ought to get kids out of the government schools. How about forever? Never let them go back. Just shut down government education like they've been promising forever, right? But they're not going to get that done. All I can tell you is I'd never let my kids attend government schools. And I'll tell you this as well. The problem is the lack of attention to God, family, and country. We've got a problem with spirituality in America today. And with that, we're going to start with our first guest, Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of Oath Keepers. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good to go. Glad to be here.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the need for spiritual strength and commitment, how to strengthen our mind, body, and souls as patriots. This is a critical topic that I believe is the plague for our youth. Our youth are, you know, involved in first shooter video games. They don't have any God, family, and country in their lives. They don't have a mother and a father that love them, many of them. They don't have brothers or sisters to teach them how to get along or to treat one another. They don't have biblical teachings. They don't go to church. They don't have a framework of mom and dad that love them. When you take away God and then take away family acceptance and give them no tie to anything but maybe a gang or to nobody, kind of a loner scenario, then you teach them first shooter, you know, gaming and violence, you've almost set the stage. Final step, hook them on drugs. What do you say to that, Stuart?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And then they wind up with the pharmaceuticals that screw their heads up and make them want to have homicidal and suicidal thoughts. But you're right. That's the, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, we had firearms in school. You know, I'm old enough to remember that. But before that, you know, hunting rifles and were shown off and exchanged, and even in my time. So there was no problem because the kids had a good moral foundation. Like you said, they came from strong families. Their parents took the time to teach them the right things, and they didn't come from broken homes. So it makes a difference, and that's what's happening today. And I think it's important for us, you know, all of us to understand the central importance of spiritual life and get back on the path. I mean, myself, I just got baptized again at Coach Dobemeyer's event in Ohio. It was an Occupy event. We went there to provide protection, but I went ahead and got baptized again as an adult, and I was baptized in the church when I was 13. And I just felt the, you know, need to renew my faith and get back on the path. Like all men, I stumbled. So, you know, and we all need to do that. I think it's important to, wherever you're at, to not take for granted that you're as strong as you could be. I think you all need to, you know, I'm not trying to preach to everybody out there, but just we all need to renew our faith and then get ourselves squared away physically, mentally, and spiritually. And, you know, renew and become stronger. I saw a billboard once on a bank that said the only person you need better than today is the person you were yesterday. And I think that's important for us to try to do that in all three fronts, mind, body, and spirit. You know, like myself, I just lost 35 pounds, getting myself back in shape. Let myself go. You know, let myself get way off the path for years. And I became a hypocrite. Here I am, the leader of Oath Keepers, and yet I'm not combat effective and prepared physically. So that was wrong. And let myself go mentally and spiritually, too. So I think we all need to be humble enough to realize that, you know, we stumble and fall and get off the path. And we can't teach the young people to do the right thing if we're not doing the right thing ourselves. So I really think it's important for us to just renew our faith. And that's why I did that. On the gun control side of it.
Hold on. Before we get to gun control, it's important for folks to understand. I think a lot of people know when they're kind of off track. Sometimes it's hard to be humble enough to admit it. I think the first step is to realize that there's a need for change. I think it's important to understand that repentance is at the heart of it. That's not really a punishment as much as it's an opportunity. But it takes repentance. It takes forgiveness. It takes leadership and humility and desire to want to change. And I think it happens for everybody kind of in their own space and in their own time. But it is important if we're going to be preparedness experts, if we're going to be leaders in the Patriot movement, if we're going to be, then we've got to start by cleaning the inner vessel. We got to start by taking it one step at a time and saying, hey, I need a course correction here or there. There's nothing wrong with that humble admission. In fact, there's power in that humility. There's power in that turning to God. And I'm not here to debate the internals of religion or the theological statements. You know what? Turn to God in any way you see best or see fit. My goal is to bring people together. The founders were like that. They had all kinds of different religious beliefs, but they understood simply that you got to turn to God, not government. They understood simply that, hey, it is the change in one's life that makes the biggest difference. And it's something that everybody's kind of on their own course. It's an individual discussion. It reminds me of the seeking after the one, biblically speaking. You know, Jesus Christ went out, left the 99 and went to seek after the one. That just shows how important a single soul or an individual is to God. And what we need to do is kind of reach out and set the standard that, you know what, that's okay to do. The more you're willing to repent and change and clean the inner vessel and kind of reflect and be humble and work towards this, in my mind, that's not weakness, that's meekness. That's where strength is really found, Stuart.
Well, that's the heart of it. You know, just reading C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, which I had read, I wish I'd have read long ago, but I recommend it highly. It really kind of helped me square away my understanding of my own faith. And he talks about that. If you're on the wrong road, the best thing to do is turn right around and go back and find the right road. That's where repentance comes in. And like you said, the humility to understand that you've gone astray and then come back. And that is the whole point. You know, we're here to show that we can be humble and then that we can be redeemed.
Amen to that. We can be redeemed, ladies and gentlemen. Stuart Rhodes with us, founder and president of OathKeepers.org. Back in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Humility, repentance, forgiveness. Those are one of the great keys, ladies and gentlemen, to change, to improving one's soul. And I submit to you that as we repent and change and forgive and have humility and we kind of cleanse the inner vessel and get spiritually prepared, that sets the stage for God to provide guidance, to help us to prepare in the rest of our lives, whether it be learning to exercise and eat right so that our bodies are squared away, learning to spend time with God, family, and country, strengthening our minds. What we really end up doing is spiritually preparing and then qualifying for God's guidance. then how to take actions to help reach out to others and care for others and make a big difference. Spiritual preparedness is key, and it cannot, I repeat, cannot be overlooked. And Stuart Rhodes, our guest, talking about that a little bit. He's making some changes in his lives, or his life, as I have had to do, as most of us have had to do at different times in our lives. It's a tough pill to swallow. But, oh, the feeling when you start on that road. At first, you feel like everything's a mess, like cleaning up a room. It gets, you know, kind of messy or dirty before you get it really clean. It's kind of like that. At first, it feels like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? As you kind of confess and forsake and change. But you know what? It feels so good. You feel right with God again. You feel like, you know what? I'm becoming who God intended me to become. And it's liberating, lady. Oh, speaking of freedom, it's kind of the key to being a patriot, Stuart.
Absolutely. You know, on Sunday, actually, I was in church, and then right after church, we had a conference call, a leadership call on Oath Keepers about the school shootings and what our response needs to be. And then the pastor in the sermon had said, we are called to live boldly. That's one of the things he really kept, and he mentioned the founding fathers and how, you know, they lived boldly and they had faith in God and with divine providence, our nation was born, you know, went through the fire. And so I walked out of that sermon, and that was one of the points I made in a text to our guys before the phone call, and on the phone call, that, you know, we are called to live boldly. Let's not be timid about the solution here. And let's call on the president to be bold as lions, you know? So it matters. Go to church, guys. It makes you a better person all the way around. It makes you a better patriot.
There you have it. One last point on this, then we'll move on to more gun control issues and then how they're trying to abuse and take down the Donald. You know, meekness is a word not to be confused with weakness. Meekness is an interesting story kind of a study in and of itself. I'm a studier of the scriptures and a studier of things of the spiritual nature. And I'm telling you, the meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Kind of a statement. If we want to, you know, protect God, family, and country, it starts with meekness. Interesting topic there, Stuart.
Yeah, go ahead and keep elaborating. I want to hear it.
You know, you got to study what meek is, Kurt. Do you have a definition of meekness handy?
Well, to me, if you're going to look up the definition of meekness, you just look for Jesus Christ. And, you know, that would be, you know, the defining individual. I mean, when he stood before Pilate, for example, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, when, you know, the bad guys are coming in to take him, basically hostage, or to take him to the authorities. I mean, his one associate grabbed the sword and cut off the ear of the guy, you know, one of the soldiers, and he literally used the powers that he has to restore that, to heal that ear. I mean, the same power, of course, that he could have used when he said he could call down legions of angels to protect him if he needed those. But, you know, he let himself be taken for the greater good of the way this all was supposed to be. So when you find meekness, at least to me, you just look and you look at the life of Jesus Christ, and that's how you
Yeah, you do. That's it. Right. That's exactly right. But meekness, not to be confused with weakness. Meekness is an inner strength with incredible faith, knowing that your heart and soul is right with God. And the meek shall inherit the earth. I mean, that's a serious promise. And that word meek, I suggest to you, is a vital part of this spiritual preparedness we're talking about. You got to look at meekness and you got to look at charity. And you start to gain some understanding. All right, Oath Keepers are making a big difference when it comes to President Trump. Everybody's working together to make a difference. You know, they attack Donald. Donald is a very strange figure in many ways, but he's even had a lot of this spiritual awakening. He's far from perfect, Stuart, but even Donald has acknowledged faith-based initiatives and reality. He's been standing for pro-life more than any other president in my lifetime. And Donald's maybe not as spiritual as we'd hope him to be, but he's a completely different man than he was back in the days of, quote, entertainment and being a big business mogul and everything else. He has prayers in the White House. He literally had Ben Carson pray, and the media was about to walk out before a prayer, and he's like, no, you guys got to stay. You need this too. So Donald's making a difference even in this realm.
Well, it's good to see. I just hope that he will have the humility and the meekness to take good advice. That's what I worry about. On the gun control front, he's kind of been back and forth. You know, at one point he said, let's go get the guns and worry about due process later. So I just worry about his understanding of the Constitution. So we're going to try to correct that. We had on a conference call the other night, we had Dr. Irvin Vieira, who's put out a piece, pretty strong piece we published on our website, about how President Trump has full authority to call forth the militia as we the people. And he focuses on the unorganized militia. And this is past Friday, I put out a piece saying he should use the organized militia, which is the National Guard. So the two together are the solutions, which is we the people, the militia. And, you know, the organized version of it is the National Guard, and the unorganized version is the rest of us. We're supposed to be organized. We shouldn't be such a thing as an unorganized part of the militia. It makes no sense. So we're going to put out a petition to President Trump.
Yeah, by the way, an unorganized militia is kind of like a mob, huh?
Well, I mean, what it really means is what they did is, as Evan Vieira says, they bifurcated the militia artificially and then they just stopped training them. So in 1903, they created the organized militia, the National Guard, which still gets trained and organized. And then the rest of us have been left kind of just hanging. Congress is not under its responsibilities in Article 1, Section 8. Congress is not providing for calling forth the militia and training and disciplining them. They just kind of left it hanging. And the states have dropped the ball, too. Your governors have all dropped the ball. So we have no real militia. Real militia would be all of us. Every able-bodied American would be the militia. So all we have left is the National Guard, one small subset of it. So Evan Beer is spot on with that. We've been pushing his ideas for years. Him and I have worked together closely many times. So it's kind of funny. The other night, on Friday, when I put out a statement that he should call up the National Guard, I got backlash from people on our site saying, I can't believe Stuart Rhodes wants to call the military into the schools. Not the military. They are the militia, but they're just the organized part of it. They're select militia. That's not the right way to go, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We already have them. Why don't we use them? So our plan is to propose to the president that he use the National Guard right now because they're already formed into units, put them in the schools, at least two per school, to protect the kids. Because otherwise, you're going to get more dead kids, and that's entirely the agenda of the radical left in this country and the globalists to disarm us. They did it in Australia. They did it in Scotland. They did it in England. That's the formula, right? So we have to stop it. And you don't stop it by sitting back and going, well, someone ought to fix this. You got to stop by you getting off your couch. So the first step is put the National Guard in the schools because they're already formed into units. The second step is the president should call on the rest of us. And she call on the experienced police and military veterans first, because we're already trained to step right in and help the National Guard, and then train the teachers and the staff how to carry guns safely, and because they're the militia too. We could call them up also. And those who are conscientious objectors and just refuse to learn how to use a firearm, you wouldn't want them carrying anyway, teach them how to do Stop the Bleed. It's a really good program. Make them medical cadre inside the school. But the president has the authority under the Constitution to do this right now. He doesn't have to wait for Congress to pass a bill or do anything. He can go ahead and, under his authority as commander-in-chief, call the militia into federal service for the purpose of stopping domestic violence in the states. And there's clear statutory support for that. It goes all the way back to the founding.
All right, let's break this down
brilliantly.
Let's break this down a little bit, Stuart, so people understand. The National Guard, certainly the president can be involved with that. It is part of what, the Army, but yet it's a state-by-state scenario,
they're
right?
The National Guard has two functions. One, they are the militia, or part of it, and they can be called up as the militia. They're also a reserve element for the Army, and that's the problem. That's why President Bureau says it's either fish nor fowl. But in their capacity as the militia, they're completely constitutional.
All right, I agree. So let me. I just want to make sure people understand this, because I think when you hear they're part of the Army, you go, wait, what? Hold on. First off, they're state by state. Understand that it's a check and balance, because the National Guard are state by state scenarios. You got the Utah National Guard, for example. Okay. So let's start there, and let's talk about the militia reality of this, so people understand what we're talking about. We're also talking about volunteers, ladies and gentlemen, which is the militia completely. In seconds, with Stuart Rhodes on your radio. Hang tight, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Stuart Rhodes, founder and president of OathKeepers.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. So we're talking about the National Guard. Yes, it's part of the Army, folks. I get it. It's also state by state, providing a check and balance to the federal government. But when we talk about folks being part of a militia, and people volunteering, whether they're in the military and have had training, or they're former military, whether they're in the National Guard, when you talk about volunteers participating in something, you get the very definition of the militia, and it does not smack of federal control, Stuart.
Well, like I said, the National Guard is actually both. It's the organized militia, but it's also a reserve element of the Army. That's the problem, is it could be sent overseas. We saw that in Katrina. National Guard from Louisiana was overseas in Iraq. So, it's not good. But it's what we have so far. Now, what needs to be done, though, as Edwin Vieira has been saying for many years, is we need to revitalize the rest of the militia, which is the unorganized part of it. All the rest of us need to be organized into units. There shouldn't be any such thing as an unorganized militia at all. And so what we're going to call on the president to do is just do just that. Call up both elements of the militia, including us, and put us to work protecting the schools. And he can do that under his own authority as commander-in-chief. He can use DOD funds to do that. They got, plenty of money sitting there that's spent, billions of dollars blown all over the world. Why not use some of that to, call it the militia and train them? And we have a model program that the president can use in Sheriff Judd in Polk County, Florida, who has had a two-year running program of arming teachers, training them, and also parents who volunteer, and local military and police veterans who want to come into the school. And he's been doing it for 2 years. It's the model that could be used by the president to then turn right around in every county in America and ask the sheriffs to go and train up the militia, you know, including the teachers and the parents. So it can be done. All he has to do is be bold. And like I said, be bold as a lion and be willing to do it. So we got to educate him and then push him to do this. This is the solution. Nothing else is going to work long term, other than, like you said before, getting rid of public schools. But nothing else is going to provide security for a free state. It takes the militia.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are answers. The sheriff provides an incredible check and balance to the president because of jurisdictional reality. Remember, the federal government only has authority delegated to it by the consent of the governed. If you look at your Declaration of Independence and your Constitution, there's limited authority, and the checks and balances are one of the great keys to solutions. But getting Americans involved by volunteerism to protect one another is core to what the colonists fought for and created the United States of America. Now, Donald Trump promised he'd get rid of these gun-free zones. I say the biggest problem, and I said I'd get to this later. Here it is now. I think the problem is we have gun-free zones and God-free zones in America. Stuart?
Oh, completely. And that's why, you know, our kids are homeschooled as well. We don't put our kids in public school unless they go in there for a wrestling match. That's about it. So I agree with you. Pull your kids out of school. They shouldn't even be in public schools. But they exist. And until we make them secure, you're going to have more dead kids, and it's going to be used to disarm us. And the thing about the sheriff is, you're right, a sheriff who's a constitutional sheriff can fix this, just like Sheriff Judd has done, and other sheriffs are copying his program. But what do you do? Look at Broward County, right? That's where the shooting happened there in Florida. Got a sheriff who doesn't take care of business and doesn't do what's right. That's why the president has to step in as commander-in-chief of the militia and make sure it gets done, even in the blue states, even in the blue counties. Where they don't want to have people in the schools protect the kids, the president can do it anyway. And that's the whole point of, and he can use us as a militia, as a safe way to make sure those children are protected, you know, safe when it comes to our rights. Your local veterans lead the way, your local retired cops, and they can turn right around and teach the teachers that are willing to do it. Sheriff Judd calls them special deputies. And even the local school board can't stop him from training a teacher, making that teacher a special deputy. He puts them through the exact same training as police officers go through, and then even more training than the police academy requires, and he makes them special deputies. And no one can stop them. The school board can't stop them. The county commissioners can't stop them. He can't be stopped. So if you have a constitutional sheriff who's willing to do it, he can do exactly what Sheriff Judd does, even if he has hostile school administrators or local politicians against him. It only takes one sheriff.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There are solutions. Oathkeepers.org is talking about it. They're working on it, and they're helping people understand, hey, Oathkeepers, President Trump, call on National Guard to protect schools. Let the military and police veterans and those who are trained by volunteer participate and find solutions. We got to take action now. And, do you want to basically disarm? Rand Paul wisely said, hey, sheriff's departments aren't getting all shot up. It's these God-free, gun-free zones that are getting all shot up. When are we going to realize the truth? And when are we going to implement solutions replete with the appropriate checks and balances set forth by our founding fathers? Trump vowed to eliminate gun-free zones on his first day. Trump's been struggling with a swamp, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't know if Donald genuinely serious about this.
So, Sam, he could do this on his own right now as commander-in-chief.
He could, and we urge him to do so, is why I'm bringing it up. If he wants to listen to his friends and people who care and people who understand the Constitution, he can do it right now. Now, Thomas Massie, even helping out the cause, so he's a Republican of Kentucky. He has introduced his bill to repeal the 1990 gun-free school zones. He's already put forth that legislation, so there's already efforts there. In Boulder, Colorado, for example, though, and this is the problem with these local municipalities, Boulder, Colorado City Council just passed an assault weapons ban unanimously. The president shouldn't stand for that. He should simply say, wait a minute, we are the United States of America. We have a Second Amendment. This applies to the nation at large. The courts have validated that reality. They should take action and stop Boulder, Colorado, and other local municipalities, California, et cetera, from stealing our right to keep and bear arms. This is an unalienable right of self-defense codified in the right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment. We shouldn't stand for these local municipalities perverting the laws of the nation, sir.
Well, that's the problem with the Heller decision. And the Heller decision, everyone, you know, praised it as some kind of victory for the Second Amendment. But it left the door open for pretty much banning anything short of a total ban of all weapons. You know, it left the door open for banning semi-automatic rifles. It left the door open for banning handguns. So that's why they can do this and get away with it under the current interpretation of the Constitution from the Supreme Court. But again, what the president could do is call up the militia and say everybody in that community who owns a semi-automatic rifle is in the militia, and you can't disarm the militia. We can trump that. Literally.
What do you say, Kurt? Do you want to add to this?
Well, the president certainly has, you know, a lot of, I guess you could say, work to be done. You know, we as well each have our duty. I mean, as they say, there's just a... it's a target-rich environment. There's just so many different things to work on, whether it's our individual lives, and then, of course, everything around us, whether it's improving our families, then our local, you know, our communities, and then, of course, you know, our states and our country and the world. There's making America great again is a big effort.
All right, Fox Business anchor Maria, how do you say her name? Bartiromo? She's hanging out with Judge Napolitano on Fox. Fox Business, they're talking. And she has some interesting comments about how the swamp is attacking the Donald. Donald's been really frustrated in firing back and ordering an investigation. It's kind of weird. Donald thinks the Justice Department can get to the bottom of the Justice Department abuses. But nevertheless... I kind of find it the epitome of stupid. It's like, hey, let's get the Justice Department to ensure justice. They're the ones that are abusing this. But listen to what this Maria lady says with Judge Napolitano.
I mean, this is very different, Judge. I mean, this is a major presidential election.
Yes, yes.
The President Obama, basically, what it appears to me, politicizing all of his agencies, the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, the CIA, they were all involved in trying to take down Donald Trump.
She's claiming they're all involved in trying to take down Donald Trump. Now, I've been telling Donald he's got to shut down some government agencies so that he can drain the swamp faster. How do we help with that, Stuart?
Well, that's a really good question. I think he just needs to start. What he should have done is clean house when he first got in. He left a lot of these knuckleheads in there. He should have purged them out when he first was elected. When it could have just been said, hey, we just need. And that's what every other president does. And Obama did that. He cleaned out all the Bush administration people. So Trump made a big mistake in letting a lot of these, you know, turncoats stay in position. So now he's got a tougher road to hoe because now they'll say, well, he's doing this as retaliation for their investigation. But he needs to do it. He needs to get rid of, especially in his own inner circle, frankly, all the globalists he has, you know, right there in the White House surrounding him. He needs to start purging them out and replace them with constitutionalists. And you know, I mean, how come he didn't have Judge Napolitano as attorney general?
Amen to that. Do you think for 1 second that the Justice Department's going to, you know, be pushing for justice on this? I can't imagine.
No, of course not.
I can't imagine him thinking that he can get the Justice Department to look into this. What he needs to do is create a presidential commission, and I'll tell you who ought to be on it in seconds, that can dig into the truth and get to the bottom of it that would be completely independent. Hang tight. Sam, Kurt, Stuart Rhodes, Oathkeepers.org in seconds on your radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Donald's far from perfect. He's made plenty of mistakes. We get it. Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. On your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we can help President Trump, and he needs to drain the swamp, and he needs to do it now. But I'm proposing a presidential commission, Stuart Rhodes, to really free innocents in prison, to really look into a lot of that stuff, to look at the situation where people have been abused and wronged. In the Ammon Bundy case, for example, the federal government got caught lying, manipulating evidence, committing perjury. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Well, the death of LaVoy Finicum.
Yeah, LaVoy Finicum, we've got to get to the bottom of this because until Donald creates a presidential commission to look into this, really Donald's case is no different than the other cases. We got to know the truth. We got to separate fact from fiction, and we got to stop rogue agents in government from becoming judge, jury, and executioner. And the only way is a presidential commission with an independent group. You'd put guys like Richard Mack and Stuart Rhodes, and you might put David A. Clark Jr. You might put a bunch of people on that commission, Judge Napolitano, to make sure that things go legal and proper. There's a lot of people that can be brought to bear.
You should be, Dr. Vieira should be on that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and see, then you'd put some constitutional experts on there that would understand the checks and balances the founders brilliantly put in place. I mean, there's so many people. You're of a legal mind as well as an oath keeper.
Like Obama, you know, remember how he's such a constitutional scholar.
Yeah, Kurt would put Obama on there, you know, a little good guy. In fact, what would do is would actually pull out that birth certificate and would find out if it's forged. And if it's forged, we could toss the Brockster into the clink on the spot. If we found out that he fraudulently committed that burden, you could have Joe Arpaio dig into that and provide a brief to the quote commission. I mean, there's a lot that could be done. We need to write an open letter to the president to talk about this because the case of an Ammon Bundy or some of these other poor guys that have been abused in this situation where the government literally lied against them. The juries would feel completely different if they got the case and understood really what the government had completely done in a transparent way, exposing by name the provocateurs that were not acting on behalf of the government. They were hired government guns, but they were literally acting unilaterally as judge, jury, and executioner. They were dishonest. It reminds me of the sniper Lon Horiuchi in Randy Weaver's wife's case, where they literally murdered her with a baby in her arms. She was unarmed, and they literally, with a sharpshooter, murdered her and no accountability. This is the kind of stuff we need to dig into all across the waterfront. And President Trump is our opportunity to get this done. We did a massive open letter, Stuart.
Yeah, and I would put Dr. Vieira and Judge Napolitano at the very top of that list. I mean, if he just had those two counselors, he could get it done.
But we could get several people that we could have a sheriff, you know, a couple of sheriff's representations so that they understand it from a law enforcement point of view. You could have some oath keepers that understood some of these things. You could have some people that have legal minds together. You know, you'd put together a whole panel, a whole group of people, a commission, if you will, that could really look into this from aspects and then simply take case by case and put them together and figure them out.
Ammon Bundy's lawyer. He had a kick-ass lawyer.
Marcus Mumford, is that who you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Marcus Mumford got tased in the courtroom.
Right, and then Herb Titus, the man who is Michael Nunes' attorney. He's still practicing law in D.C. He's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a great point. Herb Titus tried to defend our buddies over at Daniel Chapter 1 for a long time, too. So there's a lot of people that we could get together. We have names and places and people and things. We just have to. We need to create an open letter, publish it in USA Today or somewhere, and literally see if we can't get to the Donald on this one.
Yeah, good idea. I support that completely.
TheFreedomCoalition.com is where we're working on that in part, and there's a lot of people with a lot of good things happening. All right, any final thoughts before we let you fly? You guys are coming out with some stuff here in just a few days, right?
Right. Petition and also a pledge. We want to ask people to sign a petition, but also a pledge that they're willing to serve as the militia in their state. And then whether it's the governor, the sheriff can call them up as a posse, or the president of the United States. And once they pledge, then we're going to work to train them. That's our goal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Stuart Rhodes doing a great job. We appreciate you, sir. Godspeed. We'll have you back soon.
All right, God bless you guys. Take care.
There you go, Stuart Rhodes, Kurt. In my mind, you know, we've got it right. Let me just kind of highlight the headlines we've talked about and then have you comment, Kurt. Guest, Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of OathKeepers.org. The need for spiritual strength and commitment. How to strengthen your mind, body, and soul as patriots. It starts with humility, repentance, forgiveness. Blessed are the meek, for the meek shall inherit the earth. Make a decision to follow the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. And then we talked about Oath Keepers saying, hey, President Trump, call out the National Guard to protect the schools. You can have military, police veterans, and others guard them as volunteers. Trump would vow to eliminate gun-free zones. He did so on the first day. He hasn't done it, but he can now. Thomas Massie's even put a bill together to try to repeal the 1990 gun-free school zones. In Boulder, Colorado, they're going the wrong direction. They literally put an assault weapons ban. But we know Donald Trump's under siege from the swamp. Even Fox Business anchor Maria Bartiromo, along with Judge Napolitano, highlighting that the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, and the CIA all involved in trying to take down the president. So he's got a row to hoe, but he can take action now. He can put together the presidential commission we're talking about. We can protect schools with volunteers. We can use the God-given unalienable right of self-defense properly to defend one another. And we can lead with charity and following the Prince of Peace. We can turn to God in prayer. We can pray as if it's up to the Almighty. And then we can work as if it's up to us. There are solutions everywhere, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and there's opportunities everywhere, of course, solutions, opportunities, they come together, you know, on this whole school shooting thing, you know, you have so many opportunities where you, I mean, it's a known idea, Sam, that if you've got a problem with something, you look and say, well, what's changed since we, you know, when we didn't have the problem? It's just standard problem solving, you know, 101, you might call it. And you can look back and simply see, you know, the differences that have been placed, that have happened in America and the world since, well, since the days when we didn't have the school shootings, since the days when we didn't have the abortions and all those things. It's easy to see what the real solutions are. Now, the real trick is to find, well, individuals who are willing to really embrace the true solutions. So many of them, they simply want to look and say, well, you know, it's true that that worked back then, but this is a different time, so we're just, you know, we're going to go from here. Well, then they're just heading out into the morass of darkness where, hey, there are no real solutions. You take away those founding principles, those, well, you know, truly the things that are basically put forward for us in the Ten Commandments and so many of our, like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. When you eliminate those from our public lives and our private lives, you just basically take the foundations away. And then there is no way of finding our way forward. We're in trouble.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Rand Paul made an interesting statement that I think relates here, Kurt. Republicans are just as bad as Democrats when it comes to deficits and deficit spending. This brings up your point of what is a Republican, Kurt. We're finding out who's who, aren't we?
Well, you could say we've, you know, at least in my opinion, most of us have known for a long time that they, you know, like a Republican like Lowell Nelson or, you know, Scott Bradley used to be a big, you know, he was on the state central committee for the Republican Party and all that stuff. I even in my time, you know, I mean, I was an election, not a judge, but, you know, helper there and doing all that kind of good stuff to serve my country as a good Republican, and then realized that, hey, you know, really this thing, you know, it ought to be just as Americans. And, you know, I've pretty much gone against the whole party thing ever since. And, of course, I don't have any problem with the way Lowell chooses to do it or Scott Bradley or anyone else, because the individual's got to choose and find the ways that they can move forward and do the best they can to push the cause of liberty, well, in the right way.
Yeah, and just because Kurt goes about it by rejecting the two-party system and standing with a third party or an independent kind of view, and just because Lowell decides to work within the Republican Party, in my mind, you know, I don't even know which idea is better. I just know that we need to work wherever God inspires us to work. We need to get done and take action and get involved and whatever you want to say, be engaged wherever. Okay, whether you think that the Oath Keepers is the best organization, or whether you think, you know, CSPOA or both of them, or you believe radio is the big key, which is one of my beliefs. I think radio or the media is one of the big keys. Everybody just needs to get involved wherever they're at. But it's not a one answer, one's right, one's wrong, or a divide or debate answer. It's all things together. If we engage, shall be the blessing and the return to what made America great and what made America moral. We can do it again. Like I say, we got to pray like it's up to God, and we got to work like it's up to us. One other point, the Boy Scouts kind of shows, it's almost a microcosm to show how bad things are getting in America. The Boy Scouts used to be above reproach. I mean, anywhere in business, it was the cat's meow. You were an Eagle Scout, and man, that meant you had character and honor and hard work and, you know, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. You had a lot of these attributes that were Christ-like, that made a real man. You know, they were building men here. It was incredible. And you watch what's happened to the Boy Scouts over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, whatever you want to say, and you kind of get an idea of what's happening to America, and we've got to stand against it. Here's the headline for the final story this hour, Kurt.
Yeah, I don't even know how to... Anyway, WorldNet Daily's got this piece, says the headline, Condoms Required at Scouts 24th World Jamboree. Subheadline, Rules Demand Distribution During Coming 12-Day Camping Event. Bob Unruh is the writer and the author. I mean, it's a pretty good source, Sam. It says the Boy Scouts have decided to accept people who identify as gay and lesbian among their ranks, and girls are welcome now, too, into the iconic organization, which has renamed itself Scouts BSA. So what's next? Bob Unruh writes from WorldNet Daily. It says a mandate that condoms be made available to all participants of its global gathering. It's among the demands of the World Scout Committee for any host country of a World Scout Jamboree. And they say that would include the one coming up in 2019 in West Virginia. The Scouts say, quote, for the first time, a World Jamboree will be hosted by three national Scout organizations. Anyway, they're changing things a lot, huh, Sam?
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is you watch the way of the Boy Scouts and you begin to see where our country's going off the rails. However, even though we may feel the need to pull out of the Boy Scouts, we also want to pray for them. We hope they can have a course correction. We hope they can change and repent too. It can happen to individuals. It can happen to organizations. But I'm telling you right now, it starts with humility. It starts with repentance and forgiveness and turning back to God, family, and country, and realizing that we can use the supreme law of the land to protect life, liberty, and property. Together we shall succeed, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a negative message. It is sometimes a reality check of where we are so we can course correct. We pray for this nation and pray for our leaders. We declare this nation shall endure.